Greetings to each of you in the precious name of Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, who through the blood of the everlasting covenant has made us perfect. We feel anything but perfect, but in the sight of God, we can be perfect through the blood of Jesus. It's good to be here and worship with you, to welcome those who are here visiting with us. Thank you for coming, and come again. For many of us, coming to church on a Sunday morning has been somewhat routine. Not all of us, possibly, but many of us. We can't remember probably the first time we came to church. We've been coming to church. We've been carried to church. I remember some preschool teachers yet at Centerville where I went to church. I still remember some of my preschool teachers, and I don't remember a lot of what we taught, but I do remember some of those classes. I remember Sunday school and going to church. Church meetings. I remember big church meetings sometimes where a lot of people would come, informative meetings and all-day meetings, and visitors would come and church. God's word was preached. We have church here every Sunday. We come to church. Why do we come to church? Phrase is going through my mind this week and kept coming back to me, and decided to bring a message this morning. It's five words of Jesus, just a phrase of Jesus in Matthew 16 and verse 18. And the phrase that has been going through my mind is Jesus says, "I will build my church. I will build my church." Turn with me. We'll be reading a number of scriptures this morning, and I would like for you, if you can, to follow along. Matthew chapter 16. I want to read a few verses here, verses 13 to 20 for our scripture reading, and then look at our text verse, and I just have a few points this morning. On the thought of, I will build my church. How does Jesus build his church? How is he building his church? Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. A phrase taken out of verse 18, I will build my church. Every structure, no matter how large or how small, is built by the hand of the builder. As elementary, Brother Peter in adult class talked some about that, about the steeples and the large church buildings. But it's built by the hand of the builder. There may be a general contractor who subs out some of the work to other subcontractors, but the work is done by the hands of the builders. And it's built. We're thinking now about the building of a structure, material things. At the entrance of a building site, you may notice a large sign that says, future home of so-and-so. And in addition, on that sign, it says the name of the builder. Interestingly enough, as I drive along, I see different signs, but one of them that I notice, because I know Gary, is Hoover Buildings. You know, Hoover Building Systems. And when their sign is there, often it involves a project. It's a big project. Businesses are built also. We think of, so that's the brick and mortar of the buildings. There's a sign that says who the builder is. But businesses are built. You know, Amazon started small, UPS. A lot of your big businesses today that have grown large started small. But they built a business. They built a business. Businesses are built as the owner or founder wisely manages his assets and investments and expands wisely, delegating leadership responsibility to others. He can't do it all, and he delegates it out, and he spends money wisely, and he's concerned about profit, and they build something. Well, that's in the world of material things. But Jesus said, I will build my church. And I would just like us to personally each think about where we are in the building of Jesus, of the church of Jesus Christ. Where are you in this building? What part do you play in this building? I will build my church. What is meant by the word church in this passage? The Greek word is ecclesia. And we talked about this. You Bible scholars know. But I want us to be impressed upon our minds again what this refers to. And it is a calling out. Is what the church of Jesus Christ is. It means a calling out. It is defined as the community of the redeemed of Christ, whether being on earth or in heaven or both. It is a calling out. Statistics tell us that the church attendance is on a long-term trend of declining. 20% of the U.S., I'm told, and these are just statistics, the 20% of the U.S. Population attend church every week is 20%. 41% attend monthly. They might go once a month, and that includes, as I understand it, that includes online church, where you at home and you go online and you watch the church happen there. Church. 51% are seldom or never in church. seldom or never in church. Now that's going to church. May we never get to the place where we are going to church, but we are not in church. Do you follow what I'm saying? Where we are going to church, but the Spirit of God has fled from our midst because we have forgotten what we have been saved from, and we're going back to our old sins. May it never happen. We call that apostasy, a drift from truth. Jesus says, I will build my church. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. We were talking about that in Sunday school. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them, and be ye separate. Think about it in your life, in the walk that you walk, the journey, the things that you allow yourself to be engaged in, the walk that you walk, the things that you are involved in. Does it exemplify the called out ones of the world into the body of Christ? Are you part of the church? I will build my church. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We did a fair amount of talking this morning about others and about why these idols should be destroyed, and that's good. It's good for us to think about that. We must remember that we are called out ones. And the possibility of falling away resides within my heart. And it resides within yours. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2 at this point. I want to read a verse or two here. In Acts chapter 2, where we have the beginning of the New Testament church. Thinking of this idea of the called out ones, the church, how is the church built? It's a calling out. Acts chapter 2. This is the day of Pentecost. And Peter is preaching. I'm going to start reading at verse 37. After they heard Peter's sermon, they were questioning what is happening here at Pentecost. They're hearing the words spoken in their own language, and they're trying to understand this. Verse 37 of Acts 2, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions, or that's the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, and this is what I want you to notice, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That word untoward generation means crooked or perverse generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. The doctrine was doctrine that they were given by Jesus. And it's a transferring doctrine. They continued steadfast in it. Save yourself from this untoward generation. This word, untoward, means crooked and perverse, as I mentioned. The Greek word is scolios. And it is the same word where we get our medical term scoliosis, which is a medical condition of the spine, as I understand it, where the spine becomes crooked. It's the same word, scoliosis. The church is the body of the redeemed souls who have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, Colossians 1:13. Does your life give an evidence of a life that is redeemed and translated into the kingdom of light? I will build my church. By nature, I want to remind you, and this is part of why we have revival meetings. They're coming up this week. Why do we have them? By nature, we are born into the kingdom of darkness. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we are born into the kingdom of darkness. We need revival. I need revival. Because we are the called out ones, redeemed ones, but our inner pull of the flesh remains alive. It is not totally gone. By nature, we are unholy and sinful. Peter gives us the answer to how to be transformed to a new life in Christ, an entrance into the church of Jesus Christ. How do we become into this church? How do we become transformed? How do we come into this kingdom of light? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, he gives us the remedy. Repent and be baptized. Notice they go together, repentance and baptism. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. 1 John, we could turn to those, we won't turn to them, but in 1 John 1:9 and other verses, we're exhorted to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, and we shall be saved. You shall receive the Holy Ghost, the promise is to all, verse 39 of Acts chapter 2. I will build my church. So we see from the Bible that the church is the body of redeemed souls who are living a holy, separated life following the doctrine of the Word of God and applying it to everyday living. Applying it to everyday living. In Matthew chapter 16, there's something I want us to notice. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And we're backing up just a little bit before that in verse 18. Jesus says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's about three different interpretations of that. And I don't know that it's really... There's three different interpretations of that. One is that Jesus would be saying that, Peter, upon you I'm going to build my church. And we know the Bible tells us that the church is built on the apostles and prophets and so on. The other interpretation is that upon Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the church will be built. And the other one is that upon the rock Jesus, the church will be built. One of the things that I want you to know and have settled in our heart is that I, Jesus Christ, will build his church. It is his church. It is his possession. I I will build my church. I want you to notice now in verse 19. According to the teaching of Matthew 16, 19, Jesus told Peter, he will give to him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In Matthew 18 and verse 18, I'm not going to turn there, but Jesus says pretty much the same thing to the rest of the disciples that were gathered with him. And it is my understanding of these verses that Jesus is building his church, has granted to the church authority to bind and loose. And this phrase was rooted in legal and religious Jewish tradition, the binding and loosing. To bind was to prohibit or to forbid. To loose was to permit or allow. It should be noted that the authority of the church in these matters does not override the will of God. However, as a Bible-believing church of Jesus Christ, binding and loosing aligns itself, must align itself with the already established will of God. As I understand it, the authority of these scriptures gives the church authority to make decisions of practical living. I will build my church. It's part of structure, and it's part of God being a God of order. Acts 15 is an example of the New Testament church relating to questions that needed an answer. It's a Jerusalem council. How is Jesus building his church today? The same way he builds his church today, the same way as he has done in the past. The number one in relation to this, he is building his church through the power of the living word. He is building his church through the power of the living word. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 tells us to desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word, the seed of the word of God sown in the heart, is a powerful force. I believe that's how he is building his church today, through the word. A co-worker of mine told me this week, and we were talking about things, and he said that his wife has been instrumental, I'm not sure that's the word he used, but his wife has had the privilege to help one of her co-workers to Christ, to accept Jesus into her life. And he told me, he said, and it was interesting, it wasn't from his wife preaching to her of how things should be done, but this individual came to Christ as they studied and read the word. They're reading the word, and at times I guess she would ask questions to my co-worker's wife, and she would help her and to understand the word. We had a mission board meeting this week, and Brother Luke Benich was sharing how a school that he knew of, how there, someone, a company, was printing Bible verses on the egg cartons. There was something, I don't remember anymore if he's what the project was, but they printed a Bible verse on the egg carton or whatever that was being taken into school. It's a way of getting the word in. See, it's the word the Word of God. And as we come this week and as we hear the Word of God taught again, and our hearts are open, the Word is life. It's a living Word. The Bible tells us it will not return unto God void, but it will accomplish its intended purpose, the Word. I challenge you again, and I know I say this different times, but we must read the Word. It is for by it that we find salvation. And if we're too busy to read the Word, we're too busy. We need to read the Word. It's part of the building of the church. The Holy Spirit can take the Word and mellow the hardest of hearts. The Word. Sometimes we are the only gospel the world reads. They read our lives and how we live. Number two. Christ is building his church through the lives of faithful followers. He's building his church through the lives of faithful followers. Ye are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14-16. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. This week, as you were about your duties, were you a light to the world? A light to the world. He is building his church. If someone comes to learn to know you, would they want to go to your church because of how you are? The character you live? The kindness that you show, the love in your heart, the gentleness and the caring compassion. He's building his church through the lives of faithful followers. Lives of proper conduct are noticed by the world. 1 Peter 2:11-12. They're noticed by the world. Lives of proper conduct. The mission of the church is go out into the world and preach the gospel. John 17:18 and Matthew 28:19-20. The Great Commission. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. The world knows that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. While service is important, having meaningful relationship with God through daily Bible reading and prayer is of greater importance. The airplane safety instructions tell us to put on our own oxygen mask. Put that on first before helping someone else in the event that there is a loss of oxygen. Cast the beam out of our own eye first before we seek to take the little splinter out of somebody else's eye. Matthew 16:24-26. If any man will come after me. If any man, it doesn't say he's going to be part of the church, but if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow me. Characteristics of the crooked generation. If you just remember these two generations, so we talked about the untoward generation in Acts chapter 2. It's the crooked generation, the perverse. It's slippery. It's just crooked. And then we talked in 1 Peter about the chosen generation. So we are by nature part of the crooked generation, brought out into the chosen generation. Make straight paths for your feet, the Bible tells us. Characteristics of the untoward generation are opposite of the teachings of Jesus. They're opposite of the denying it yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. They're opposite. If you want to know what they are, they're opposite. It's the untoward generation is about self. It's about me. It's about making things easy for me. It's about you follow me. I don't follow Christ or you. It's about me. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Nobody can do as much damage to the church of God as the man who is within its walls, but nobody can do as much damage to the church of God as the man who is within its walls, but not within its life." Within its walls, but not within its life. Let us not become weary in well-doing, in being the hands and feet of Jesus. But first of all, be that in your own life. Number three, Christ is building his church when the powers of evil are broken. Matthew 16:18, "The gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against the church." And today it seems like they are prevailing. There's a falling away from the truth. Those who once walked in holiness, we see them falling away. Christ is building his church when the powers of evil are broken. Jesus declares a promise. And this is a true promise. Jesus is simply saying in simple language that the powers of the kingdom of Satan will not overpower the church. And take courage in that as you face pressures to sin, pressures to lay down your guard, pressures, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The battle is won through the resurrected power of Jesus. All throughout Jesus' ministry on earth, he went about his daily life ministering to the needs of others and setting them free from the power of the kingdom of darkness. Part of the revivals are coming up. Oh, that as Brother Jim preaches and the word is preached and the word falls into our hearts, that the power of the scripture, the power of the Holy Ghost will set in our hearts, the power will free us from evil. And that bondages will be, chains will be broken. And whatever it might be, Christ is building his church, sanctifying and purifying a people that are his. Luke 4, verse 18, Jesus went back home to his hometown in Nazareth, and standing in the synagogue, he read of himself from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, a recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Interestingly enough, when John the Baptist was in prison, one of the things that he asked about Jesus, and I don't know if he was questioning in his mind if this is the Messiah or not, but it was said that this man is opening the eyes of the blind. And it was a proof of the Messiah, opening the eyes of the mind. The message of the gospel is redemption and reconciliation. And I praise God today that we have the promise that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. There is a promise for us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Number four, Christ builds his church through faithful leadership. As I sat at my desk and prayed what God would have me to share on this subject, and I felt led to write this point down because I do not feel like I am there as far as there's many things that I need to learn. There's many things where I fall short in. But Christ, I believe, one of the ways that he builds his church is through faithful leaders, leadership. Acts 20:25-32. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Paul's voyage to Miletus. He is addressing the Ephesian elders. Now, this is not necessarily, he's addressing the elders here, but we have various leaders here this morning among us. We have school teachers, we have dads, we have mothers, we have big brothers, we have big sisters, we have employers. We're leaders. Acts 20:25-32. Paul is saying, "And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise," "speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Stop reading. No, go read to verse 32. "Therefore watch and remember that by this space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able," notice, "to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Jesus Christ, I will build my church. Able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The thought of to feed means to shepherd. One of the greatest responsibilities given to man is the responsibility to shepherd. The responsibility to shepherd. Brother Sherwin on Friday evening had an inspiring devotional at the ordination, and he had a cross, and it was a cross that was in remembrance of his son Chad, who had been killed in the traffic accident. And it had Chad's birth date and it had his death date, and there was a dash between there. And Brother Sherwin reminded us, leaders that were there and everybody, that we are called into leadership to help people between the dash. It's a sobering responsibility. Not only us, but together. We are here to help people. To prepare ourselves for the day that death will come. And to help others. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I'd like to conclude with this statement. The greatness of any church is not in the greatness of its numbers or in how many people are shown on the registry, but in the presence of God within the hearts, and by it showing forth to the world the power of a transformed life. The greatness of any church is not in the greatness of its numbers, but in the presence of God within the hearts, and by it showing forth to the world the power of a transformed life. There are many other verses we could read. Verses like the apostles say, we are God's husbandry. We are his building. The church is talked about in the scripture as being a body. Collectively together, the church is the temple, the habitation of God through the Spirit. Is it important that God lives within the hearts of each member? The Holy Spirit within the heart of the members. Habitation of God through the Spirit. The Bible also talks about it being as a body. We function as members, one of another. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 5. I'm not going to read them, but one of the verses says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in his house. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in his house. Church membership and church responsibility and so forth to the world is not popular, and it's becoming less popular even among Christian church-going people. Christ says, I will build my church. It's his church, but we are members one of another. And let us serve him in reverence and godly fear. Let us kneel to pray.